I just have one reading today because I want the scripture reading to be sort of central. I don't want to cloudy it, muddy it up. We're just going to have the one reading this morning from Colossians. This is chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that. Hear now these words. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful.
Now I know a crap you never grows from a cheese.
to attend the earth if you want a rose. I like that. My message this morning is entitled Approaching the New Year. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. Many of you may recognize these opening lines from Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. I've actually used that quote before in a Pentecost sermon entitled The Tale of Two Spirits. Others may think of it simply as being particularly descriptive of life on this planet during the past year. Let's take a quick moment, speaking of this past year, and just look at a fraction of the major stories from this past year. First, we witnessed what some would call a groundbreaking presidential election, which saw an unprecedented voter turnout. We also saw more from the climate crisis as it took center stage, as severe weather events and wildfires devastated various regions. The Supreme Court ruled on several key civil rights cases that will impact discrimination laws across the country and mostly in bad ways. We've also seen the furthering of the rapid advancement of technology, which this year more than ever before has led to heated debates about artificial intelligence and its regulations. Mass shootings have averaged more than one a day in the U.S. Hurricane Helene devastated parts of the U.S. It'll take us years of recovery. A gunman shot and killed the CEO of a healthcare company over the unfair practices that led to the deaths of thousands every year. We could go on and on. But here's the thing. We human beings appear on this stage so transiently. We do our bit part. And we move into the wings to make way for us. Has watched Antony and Cleopatra, Alexander, Napoleon, Mussolini, World War II. They've all stared up at the Sphinx. But they are all now in the history books, but the Sphinx remains. See, this the events of this past year, they seem monumental. But put into perspective, they are just the blink of an eye. Most of the events are the results of us, we humans, living life out of a sort of human perspective, the same perspective that sees all of these events as monumental. How much better might we be if we at least attempted, on a consistent basis, to live life from a more theological perspective, a perspective put together over hundreds of years by our theological ancestors with the goal of attaining a better life? You see, done right, good theology, there's the question of good and bad theology. Done right, good control our behavior in part. Now, being believe most Christians ultimately lead lives that are the inverse of that statement. Rather than living life in a way where theology controls our behavior, we live life in a way where our behavior controls our theology. We tend to do what we like, what we feel is right, or even what we want to be right, and then we try to justify our actions. Now, sometimes we justify our actions by proving, at least taken out of context, seem to justify our conclusions. And sometimes we simply convince ourselves that what we did serves some good, indistinct, greater good. And other times we simply stand on our own good judgment, or personal sense of morality to validate our actions, no matter how we do it. If we don't start with the biblical text, the biblical mandates, we are simply letting our behavior control our theology. We are doing something and then justifying it by saying it is how or what God would want, rather than discovering what the text says God would want and letting that guide our actions. And I am not saying, if he says, I am not saying it's particularly easy to sort out what the text says about what God would want. I'm just saying I believe it's important to try to. Think about this past year. Not the big stories in the life of the world, but the big stories in the life of you. Not just the ones that would make headlines in your life, but the ones that touched you, that affected you, that changed you in some way. Not just the best of times, but, you know, the worst of times as well. Not just the seasons of light and the springs of hope, but the seasons of darkness, the winters of despair as well. I encourage you, before looking forward into 2025, to take seriously this exercise of looking back on your 2024. Now, as you do it with today's text as a filter, as a measuring stick by which to see how you did. Ask yourself, particularly in the worst of time moments, the seasons of darkness, the winter's despair moments, in those times, as I look back on, how do I feel about it? Do I feel poorly about it? Thinking about the ones I want to change. Did theology control my behavior, or did I let my behavior get the best of me and have an effect on how I understand my call is, who I'm supposed to be, my relationship with the divine? And as you think about those moments, let's hear today's text again. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. If you think that that text I just read adequately describes what a healthy theological outlook in living looks like, then ask yourself this question: is that your life in this past year? And if your answer is yes, I'd like to suggest to you that maybe you're having a hard time being completely honest with yourself. Fall short of those things. We all fall short of always living the life that we just part of being human. No matter how good we are not always the people that we know we should be. So again, thinking about today's text, is that your life in the past year? If you answered no, which I would say that most of us probably should, at least in part, recognize we're not always those things, then I have another thing that I'd like to suggest. I'd like to suggest that this year, you make only one New Year's resolution. One based not on your 2024, but rather one based on what the text says is good for us, what creates the life that is desired for us. I'd like to encourage you to recognize that 2025 is a new beginning. So approach it with new vigor, new vitality, and new vision. And with that, here's the one New Year's resolution I'm encouraging each of us to make. To let healthy theology, keyword healthy theology, guide out your behavior in 2025. The question then is how? Well, there are clearly a multitude of ways to let good theology guide your behavior, but here is one good one. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and and patience. Bear with one another. And if any of you have a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful.
Kind of love, and it's time I
Sometimes our words get in the way. Sometimes we allow our words to be the full extent of our actions. We say that we love someone, but our actions can seem less than loving. We say that we would hate to see anyone go hungry, but we drive by people who have very little to eat. We say we worship the Prince of Peace, but we back violence and division in far too much of our lives. We help make this world a better place, but we continue to support actions and policies that make the world a more difficult place for far too many people. Let us be moved towards a closer relationship between our words and our actions. May our words ultimately seem trite and a bit meaningless in comparison to our actions. May love shine brightly through each deed we do. May that light be an encouragement to others to do the same. And may each small deed be added together as we begin to weave together a world where all life experiences that love. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and your actions bring that love and happiness to all of those you meet.